Would you please join me in a prayer to the Holy Spirit? Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with your faithful, and enkindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, Terry did a beautiful job making me a saint. So I won't go over my biography again. But I have been entrusted with the rodeo called the Olympics of Curcio, or Handing on the Torch. And this rodeo will focus on the smooth transition in the process of selecting our successors. In business, it's called succession planning. Simply stated, it is a plan for what happens when we need a new leader. And what better example could we have than the Olympics, the games that are starting at this point? Before the Olympics begin, a torch is lit and it's passed to runners. And when they get to the stadium, they light the cauldron, which is a symbol that the games can now begin. But a better example, I think, is that of a relay race where the first runner of each team carries a baton. And when they finish their lap around the track, it is their responsibility to pass the baton to their next teammate. Now, this is carefully done for a smooth transition. If the baton were to drop, it would mean disaster for the team vying for an Olympic medal. Handing on the torch or passing the baton during a role transition is crucial for a seamless handover. And this rodeo will be about passing on the baton of expectations, responsibilities, and job descriptions. In other words, the information necessary to prepare new leaders accepting a position on the diocesan, regional, national, or international levels. Now in Curcio, we are constantly passing on information, and we should understand why this is important, what information we need to pass on, and how we pass the baton when referencing the Curcio method or its charism. The first order of business is to pray. Before Jesus, our first CEO, selected his team, he went to the Father in prayer. And Jesus has an impeccable record. We must do likewise. Prayer is critical for success. In our diocese, we have a rosary and a Divine Mercy chaplet every Friday via Zoom dedicated to the Curcio movement. Jesus tells us, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Life happens, we get sick, we move, we have family emergencies, or our term is up. Change is inevitable. And when life happens, we need to have a plan in place, and for me, it's always plan A and plan B. That plan should be our succession plan for continuity of leadership. And I think succession planning is best described, and this is a quote, intentionally setting up the next leader for success while honoring the past. Our plan should be in place before we need it. We must be proactive, not reactive. And this means we should always be looking for our successors, and it should not be rushed. It should be a discernment process where we allow ourselves time to look for the image of God in our future leader. On the Curcio weekend, we tell our candidates that they are leaders. Are we really looking for future leaders? The ones with ideas, who think outside the box, who rally others, and are inclusive, participative, inquisitive, and listen to others, and act with decisiveness, humility, and joy. And when we identify them, do we mentor them? Do we bring them to Altria and the School of Leaders? Do we make sure that they are in friendship groups? In other words, do we accompany them on their journey? And if not, why not? Let's say you've identified a cursiista who is living the method, grouping, going to Altria and the School of Leaders. You have observed their leadership style, and you know there's going to be a vacancy on the secretariat. You feel that they would be a good fit. You pop the question, and they say, what would I have to do? So that brings me to step one. Document everything. Document your current responsibilities, your ongoing duties, and critical processes. Think of this as creating a blueprint for training your successor. Most of us have a fear of the unknown and a fear of failing. Share with them your insights into challenges you faced and opportunities that lie ahead. Now, years ago, I was asked to be a Curcio coordinator. There was a medical emergency, and my predecessor had to step down. My suspicion was that nobody stepped up. I had served as secretary on the secretariat, but I felt I was not qualified for this position. And after much pleading, I got the remark, which is perfect Catholic guilt, you wouldn't want to disappoint God, would you? So I agreed, but that was it. There was no real guidance, no job description. So I relied on the leader's manual and the leader's prayer and the knowledge that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. We should never, N-E-V-E-R, fill a position by default. This is taking away our freedom and forcing a person to accept. But I reached out for help from a veteran cursiista and gained both knowledge and confidence, and my faith deepened as I journeyed together with my friend. In our diocese now, we ask our assistant coordinator for an additional year to be mentored so that they will confidently ease into the position of coordinator. Likewise, we invite our future leaders to attend the secretariat and School of Leaders to familiarize themselves and encourage them to accept these positions. Our meetings are posted in our newsletter, Altreas, and weekly communications. We begin today with the end in mind, because there is no success without a succession plan. As a leader, it is important to identify and to empower our future leaders by communicating to them what is required to do their job and inviting those around to help. Try to identify their skills and competencies. If you never share what you do in your position, you will never identify those who will someday do what you do. Teach. Give them feedback. Invite them to share their ideas, and then let go and let them shine. But reassure them that you're only a phone call away. Step two, meet with your successor, passing the torch or the baton of wisdom. Schedule regular meetings to share the experience and challenges of your position, as well as tips from your successes. These conversations will give your successor courage and reassurance, knowing you will be available when and if needed. Be honest about the position to be filled and begin with small steps. You might start by asking them to do an opening prayer, then a witness at Altria, suggest that later on that they might lead an Altreia and become more confident. Accompany them to Secretariat and School of Leaders meetings and share the Crucio literature. Encourage them to read and contribute to the newsletter. There are many ways to encourage and mentor new leaders, but remember to listen to them. They may be the source of new and better ideas or have a solution to a current problem. What all this boils down to is friendship and personal contact. Friends walking side by side on a journey, helping each other to become the best version of themselves. Proverbs tells us, the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Now, Olympia champions don't just happen. They are mentored and coached in their sport, sometimes for years. They work hard, always keeping their goal in mind, their eyes on the prize. In competition, coaches don't abandon their athletes. They accompany and encourage them. They urge them onward, the cry of Altreia. Now, I had my eyes on the prize when I sponsored Mary Ellen for Crucio. She was well known in our community and parish for getting things done. And she carried that same enthusiasm into Crucio. I encouraged her to join my Altreia, and months later asked her to be our witness. She did a beautiful job. And later I asked her if she would lead our Altreia for a time when I knew I would be absent. The next year I asked her for assistance with a regional meeting, and she met another team of Crucianistas. I became aware of a vacancy on the Secretariat and approached Mary Ellen about being our post-Crucio coordinator. I assured her I would help her and outlined her responsibilities and answered her questions. If there were an Olympic medal for the position of post-Crucio coordinator, she'd be wearing it. Mary Ellen has done a phenomenal job, and even COVID didn't faze her. She learned the intricacies of Zoom and mentored others. Our diocese is so widespread that sometimes it takes 2 to 3 hours to attend an event. So we can now Zoom for School of Leaders or Secretariat or Altreia when we can't attend in person. It was her idea to post a weekly communique to keep Crucianistas up to date. And we have seen an uptick in participation by our Crucio community, which leads to step 3, communicating with your team. Be transparent. Share your hopes and aspirations and any difficulties that you need to be addressed. Be crystal clear in your communication with others, addressing the 5 W's of journalism: who, what, when, where, why. And I was told by a very wise person to include how. Poor communication is tantamount to dropping the baton. Poor communication is the downfall of many good intentions and movements. Step 4 is setting the course. Collaborate with your team and work with your successor for a detailed transition plan. You know, there's a caveat out there: if you fail to plan, or if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. And we must focus on our mission and equip future leaders to accept responsibility for their mission, and they should be doing so with integrity and maturity. Leadership development requires an investment in time and effort, and one cannot empower by email. We must engage in what I call R&D, reproduction and development, for continuity, unity, and success. Now, COVID did a number not only on attendance at Mass, but the Curcio movement itself. Many of our parishioners have not returned to church, and the same has happened in our movement. And many dioceses are facing the problem of an aging population. Some people are no longer able to serve. Some have retired and moved away, and some are just burned out. We need to attract new and younger Curciistas to step up to the plate. I believe the principles discussed in this Royal will give us much needed guidance. But Keith is now our Curcio coordinator. One of his goals is to re-energize our Curcio movement. Now Keith leads by example, is visible, open to suggestions, and has an attitude of gratitude. Keith prioritized tasks that needed to be completed, and the one that needed to be addressed immediately was the Curcio Apostolic Plan. He rallied the secretariat and a small team of veteran Curciistas to work on updating the document. He scheduled regular meetings and asked and valued our input. He posted the original document with edits clearly outlined at each meeting. Specific roles, responsibilities, timelines, and measurable outcomes were included in the final version sent to our bishop. Our bishop, who is a Curciista, not only approved our Curcio Apostolic Plan, but then sent a letter to all clergy asking for their support of the Curcio movement. Step five is to stay engaged. Once the baton is passed and the rest of the team cheers the successor on, offering support where and when needed. But we need to be aware of any obstacles that could impede our progress. We must be on guard not to be sidetracked by the world, the flesh, or the devil. Sometimes people move into leadership for all the wrong reasons. Too often we see Curciistas who, having served as a rector or a rectora, disappear after a weekend. Perhaps they did not hear the leader's prayer where it says, "Help us maintain at a high level a meaningful, supernatural, and mutual charity among ourselves, so that each one will seek by preference the most humble tasks, and will rejoice at the good performed by others, so that all our spirits, united in a common purpose, will have one single spirit, yours, Jesus." You know, God isn't looking for the famous, he's looking for the faithful. And Jesus is a leader we strive to emulate. His entire life was one of service to others, and he asks us to pick up a basin and towel and follow his example. If we keep our eyes on him, we will become the leaders we are supposed to. An example of a Curciista who reflects true spirit, true servant leadership in the Curcio movement is Bobby. A cancer survivor, Bobby ministers to others facing the same diagnosis with compassion and prayer. She is active in her parish and local community. After her weekend, in spite of many difficulties and obstacles, she persevered in all facets of the movement. Curcio has become her apostolate, and she has served on diocesan, regional, national, and international levels. Yet she remains a humble servant in the service of our Lord. She achieved what I had failed to do in my tenure, broadening the horizons of Curciistas in our diocese by attendance at regional and national encounters. She not only shares her knowledge with others, she volunteers to carpool and drive to these events. Now, these trips are true friendships of companions on a journey, where faith, joy, and love are shared, and even an occasional overnighter at a B&B, sharing wine and cheese with our new friends. True leaders are willing to pay the price to put the cause of Christ ahead of themselves, to offer palanca and joy and enthusiasm. They are the dreamers who imagine a future where the Crucio movement will be stronger when we plan today for our tomorrows. True leaders know that Christianity is not a spectator sport. In the Olympics, athletes file for medals. In Crucio, we strive for hearts. It requires each of us to do our part, to do our best and become better. It requires each of us to become involved as part of a team united by, with, and in Christ. If we are to be successful, we must follow the same principles Jesus used in choosing his successors. He prayed, he invited, he mentored, he forgave. He encouraged, he selected a team and coached the 12 for 3 years. He loved them into being, and his method is still working 2,000 years later. The strength of the Crucio movement lies in our friendship with Christ and with each other. The body of Christ is a team built on friendship and God's grace. Our strength lies in our relationships, attitudes, sacrifices, and dedication to our ideal. St. Paul challenges us. One thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead and straining what lies behind and straining to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, for the upward call of Jesus Christ. Our future will be determined by how much we invest of our time, talent, and treasure. In other words, our yes as Crucio leaders. Our future as a movement depends on it, and Christ is still counting on it. We give you thanks, Almighty God, for all the benefits you have given us. You who live and reign forever and ever. De Coloris!